and welcome to Flow with the Funk. My name is Michelle, aka Flow, aka your funky celebrant. This is a podcast aimed at anyone and everyone interested in love and ceremony, from the beginning of life to the end of life, and everything in between. Hello and welcome back to Flow with the Funk. And in my final episode of this series, today I'm joined by my very good friend, Dulcie, who I'm going to let introduce herself because the work she does around grief is absolutely phenomenal. I will, just before we get going though, just put a trigger warning in. Like I say, we are talking about grief, we are talking about loss, and we are talking about recovery. So if you do get a bit upset, feel free to take that break and come back. But I think this is one of the podcasts out of everything I've ever done that you really, really need to listen to if you're going through any form of loss and grief. So I'm going to pass you over to Dulcie so that she can introduce herself to you all.
Hello, everybody. So, my name is Dulcie James, and I go under the coaching company called Positive Clarity. That's mine. So I'm a life coach, and I specialize in loss and anxiety. And if you think about coaching, some people don't know what life coaching is and how it differs from a counselor or a psychologist for that matter. What coaches do is they will take you to where you are today and how you are. And along a coaching journey will take you to where you actually want to be and the outcome you want to arrive at. Hence, it's called coaching. My current work is forms around anxiety and loss, as I said, because clients will often come to me primarily because they're suffering from some form of anxiety. And what I uncover, it's about their values, their identity, the things that are important to them that have been in some form of conflict. And a conflict of your values will give you a negative emotion. And often, in fact, 99% of those times, it is some form of loss. So to set the theme for today, I'm actually going to aim to talk to you about grief. Now, it's a really big subject, and there are many facets to it. And we might think that when we talk about grief and loss, we think about death or divorce. But actually, it might interest you to know there are over 40 different life events that will produce an intangible loss. Mm. And an intangible loss can give you just as much pain as that of a death of or a divorce. So I'm going to try and cover as much of that as I can today. It might interest you to know regret, how many of us have feelings of regret. And if you stop and think about where you might feel that within your body, that's actually the pain of grief. That is a form of grief. It's a symptom, if you like. And regret is often what comes to mind, but I'll come on to that later. Why don't we talk about definition of grief? Let's really start with that. We all have, most of us have suffered some grief of some kind, but I can tell you now, we don't actually know an awful lot about it. So the definition of grief, first of all, it's the normal and natural response to loss of any kind. It's also the conflicting feelings caused by an end or a change in a familiar pattern of behaviour. I'd like to give you an example of that. I'm thinking about my brother, who became our mother's carer. And she had dementia. And after a period of time, she was beginning to go downhill. He was a good soul. He'd get her up in the morning, give her a breakfast, da-di-da, give her a lunch, dinner. He put her to bed. I mean, he was wonderful. But as she went downhill, she became really, really difficult. And his life became, I think he felt quite trapped, actually. And at one point, he'd say to me, quite honestly, I just wish he'd go in her home. I'd really had enough. And then he had a conflicting feeling. He felt bad for saying that. Until one day she did go in her home. So for him, let's think about it, he did have a conflicting feeling. Because on the one hand, he was glad she'd gone. Mm. But on the other hand, he was feeling bad because he wished it and wanted her there. Because end of a change in a familiar pattern of behavior, those things that he was doing suddenly stopped. And so for the loss of any kind that we might suffer, that is actually what gives us that pain. Mm. So grief is the feeling of reaching out for someone who's always been there for you, only to find that when you need them one more time, that they're actually not there. But do you know that can happen the same if we think about, I tend to think of it as a less than loved one, a relationship that perhaps wasn't really working for us at all. And in that case, when that person is no longer there, you can have the grief is the feeling of reaching out for someone who's never been there, only to find that when you need them one more time, they're still not there. So we all grieve differently, and actually, we're all grievers because we've all suffered loss of some kind. So when loss happens, we get what I call responses to loss, to grief. And that can come, I've got a big long list in front of me. It could be anything from a fuzzy mind. I've had a lot of people tell me, I can't think straight. Yeah, because you've become preoccupied with your loss and the circumstances and the loss of a loved one or whatever it is that's caused that loss. You can't think straight. Others tell me they feel numb. It could be emotional, it could be physical, it could be both. And disrupted sleep pattern. Some people tend to sleep too much, trying to forget. Others don't sleep at all. And another one is what I call disassociated. It's like as if you're almost not in your own body. Now, I had a young man come to see me once. I'm never going to forget him, bless him. He said it was the death of his father tragically. And he said, everybody around me is crying. He said, and I feel really bad. He said, because I don't cry. So I can't cry. He said, I kind of feel like I'm not in my body. So when I showed him the list, I said, would it help you to understand that actually that is a normal response? The relief on that young man's face, I'm never going to forget.
I can imagine.
But there is no right or wrong way to be having these responses, right? Another one is a heavy sinking feeling, when you wake up in the morning and boom, it hits you just like that. It's a dreadful feeling, and I know that myself. Emotionally crying. I'll come on about being told not to cry a little later here. How about change of eating habits? Eating too much or not eating at all? And then there's the classic that I probably would like a pound for every time I've been told this. One minute they feel fine, and the next minute, thwomp, they've gone to the floor, and they don't even know what's caused it. All they know is that they the one minute they're feeling fine, what I call the roller coaster emotional. Fear. What's going to happen next? Where do I go from here? And anger. I've had many a young man come and see me with anger issues, and sure enough, guess what? It uncovers that there is a loss of some kind. It is a response to loss, and that's perfectly normal. Thing is, we've been taught more about first aid than we have about grief. Grief is being talked about, it's being brought in the fore, and I'm really good pleased to see that happen. The celebrities, Prince William and Prince Harry, they've all been out there talking about their grief quite openly, and that's brilliant. But still, there is the mentality today that they don't know how to handle grief. And the common way that people tend to do is just go and lock themselves away. They think that actually grieving alone, isolating, don't want to talk my feelings. Oh, no, can't go there. And that's born out of the misinformation that we've been taught over the years. In the program, in the way that I work, we call that the six myths of unhelpful tools and misinformation. So one of the first ones is, I know it had it said to me when I was a kiddie, is that whenever something's happened, how many of us have ever heard, don't feel sad, don't cry, don't feel bad? We've been taught that over the years, perhaps not so much on the very younger generation of today, because we know better, but certainly for mid-generation and older generation, they will all nod their heads and say, oh yeah, I've been told, we mustn't cry, because they've been taught to have sad feelings is bad. I remember my mother used to say to me, if you're going to make that noise, go to your room. Grieve alone. Number two myth. We're taught that if we're going to have sad feelings, then we better go and have them and isolate and go to our room. And already you're nodding. Already we can tell, can't we, that none of this is going to help with grief and the emotion of grief. What it's actually doing is furthering down that pain of grief into our bodies as if it's a pressure cooker, as if it's a container for negative emotion. Then there is Look, this has happened to me in the past. I remember I had a beautiful little cat and it got run over. And I was told straight away by a well-meaning friend, you gave that cat a good life, go and get another. Well, at the time I did as I was told. But guess what? I didn't quite feel the same. Took me a while to warm to that cat because I still loved the one that I lost. So replace the loss is myth number three. It's about as much use as chocolate fagar because you cannot replace a loss. It's impossible. And in recent times, I've been told myself, be strong. Go on, you've got strength. I tell you what, be strong or be human. I'd rather pick human. Because being strong, all that does, again, is make us go into a place that we don't want to go because we don't feel strong. And it can make us feel worse. We've all heard the expression time heals, myth number five. Time heals, it doesn't. Let me tell you what really happens. Now, we're talking here, so anybody listening can't see what I'm about to say. But imagine you got yourself a piece of paper and you drew a circle that took up, let's say, middle half of that paper. That's how big grief can feel when it happens. But all time does is create life around it. So if you were to draw a bigger circle around that first one, so we'll call that life. Let's draw another cycle because years later, more life happens. If you look at those two drawings of what you've done, you'll see the initial drawing of grief hasn't changed, but life has happened around it. And then imagine another loss, grief, a trigger. It cuts like an arrow into that pot of grief that you're still holding on to. And therefore, the pain is real and it is still there. And that's why we can get quite a very strong emotional reaction for a loss that happens years down the line. It's almost like cutting into that same open wound. So time heals? Of course it doesn't. What does heal is actually taking the correct action choices to recover from grief. Now I've just said it. You don't hear recover and grief in the same sentence, but it is possible. And I know how. The sixth and final myth is keeping busy. We all know that one and we've all used it, I dare say. Keeping busy is a bit like being a hamster in a wheel. When we step off that, everything is the same. Nothing has changed. So the myths are actually taught us how not to handle grief. And yet, we were born originally with the tools and the ability to handle grief. And how do I know that? If you go and look in a nursery school with little ones, and you see a child snatch a toy and see the other kid cry, that child is handling grief. Later on, you'll see it's perfectly happy, it's got over it. But these myths take away that we've been taught, take away our ability to deal with loss. And then, when we are suffering loss, from nowhere comes what I call the intellectual comments. These are the things that people say to us because they don't want to see us cry. Because they don't know how to handle it. So let me give you some examples. I had a very dear friend who at 89, her husband of some 70 years died. He was 90. Now, intellectually, us talking here and now, we could say, crikey, that was a good age. But she got told it was his time, it was for the best. Well, he had a good innings. That might be intellectually true, but to her, she was brokenhearted. And those comments were totally and emotionally barren. So they didn't help her whatsoever. And because we've been preconditioned not to show our feelings, because don't cry, don't feel sad, it's bad to have sad feelings, we start to do things like approval-seeking behavior. How are you doing today? I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine.
And we all do it.
And we all do it, don't we? And I know that there is an analogy there, which we're not going to go with today, but I'm shaking my head no as I'm saying that. And that's actually what happens because communication, 20% is verbal and 80% is non-verbal. And when we're lying about our feelings, guess what we're doing to our bodies? We're pushing down the negative emotion even further, which really does make us feel worse. And meanwhile, we're gaining Oscar Awards, Academy Award behavior. And I think we've all got an Oscar on the shelf somewhere at home, right? So what do we do with this negative energy? What do we do with grief? I can tell you, a lot of people, and most of us, turn to behaviours that are potentially harmful, such as alcohol, drugs, smoking, exercise. And would it interest you to know that food is at top of the list for using food to escape from our feelings? That got my attention when I was learning this, because I also work with eating disorders. And I thought, well, there is part cause. There's no one cause for an eating disorder, but there is part of it. It's a bit through grief. My mother used to say, don't cry, don't feel sad. Here, go and have a biscuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go and have an ice cream.
Yeah.
There, I'll make you feel better. Here, have a piece of cake.
Yeah.
We're taught to self-medicate with food. Mm. Therefore, we tend to use it. We call it STIRBS, short-term energy relieving behavior for short, by the way. STIRBS. We use it with alcohol and food, drugs, exercise. The list is endless. Isolation. Keeping busy. How about this? Preoccupation with other people's problems. Deflecting how you really feel by absorbing yourself with other problems. When people are working with me, when my clients are working with me, I often hear they feel guilty. That gets my attention, because actually they don't realize that by putting that word guilt is a heck of a label to put on yourself. And we all know that guilt we associate with somebody who's done something wrong.
Yeah.
But actually, when you listen and you talk to the client, the griever, it's regret. It's actually always about the things they wish they had done or not done, said or not said. Or perhaps it's about what the person they've lost had done or not done, said or not said. And so they feel regret, not guilt. We're all grievers. Unresolved grief is what you're left with. And unresolved grief is about unmet hopes, dreams, and expectations that you had for that relationship. It's about undelivered communication of an emotional nature. So the examples I might give you on that one is the things that we wish we had done more, less, or better than. Perhaps it's the things we wish we'd done differently. So when I talk about unresolved grief, it's about unmet hopes, dreams, and expectations that we had for the relationship. Maybe it didn't work out how we would like it to have done. And unresolved grief is about actually delivering that undelivered communication of an emotional nature. That can take the form of forgive. Forgiveness is such a big word, and it often gets misconstrued. Apology. Perhaps we'd like to apologize. Or maybe we'd just like to tell them we love them one more time and didn't get to say goodbye. One of the questions that sometimes I will ask a client, if I could bring that person for just 1 minute back into the room, is there anything you'd like to say? And then up comes the undelivered communication of an emotional nature, as they tell me what they would like to be able to have said, but they never got to say. So the way that I work enables clients to actually say those things with me listening to them as if they're talking to that person. A very powerful work that I do, and it enables people to get what I call get complete on that pain, so that it doesn't bother them anymore. I'd interest you to know that there are so many different types of loss. Now, when we talk about grief, as I mentioned before, is you tend to think about the death of a loved one or a less than loved one, a pet, or maybe it's a divorce or breakup of a long-standing relationship. But life events such as, let's talk about COVID for a moment. COVID gave us a loss of freedom. Totally screwed us up. Now, for many, it's a value.
Yeah.
The conflict of values. We weren't able to come and go as we please. We weren't able to see our loved ones. So we weren't even be able to honor our value of a family. That was a huge thing that we all went through, and it affected us in so many different ways. That's a life event. And what about, how about marriage? That's a life event. It's a happy life event. Would you really think that could produce some kind of Grief. Remember the definition of grief. It's a change in a familiar pattern of behavior. So suddenly, that person has lost. Let's talk about the lady. She's lost her identity. She's not a miss, she's a missus. And if she's used to going out with her mates, maybe she can't anymore because she's suddenly got a home to run or she's got a husband to go home to. It causes a conflict of values. On the one hand, she feels pretty brilliant, and on the other hand, she's quite confused. It is a type of loss. Promotion. That's a life event. Wonderful. There's Fred. He's working away on the shop floor. He's doing a fantastic job. And the management think we need more of Fred. Let's promote him. Shove him up into management. Suddenly he's lost the camaraderie of his mates. And he's feeling a bit wistful. He's having to work late. So he doesn't get to put the children to bed or read them bedtime story. And his wife, well, she's a bit harassed, giving him plenty of that. It's a loss. It really will produce the pain. People who get burgled and they have their jewellery stolen, that might be a special piece of jewellery that was handed down through the generations. That can cause a huge amount of loss. Loss of memories, not being able to wear it. Types of grief. There are so much more than we realize to grief. I hope that you're beginning to get a sense of the facets of grief and what it really is about. There are so many types of grief, too many for me to list here today. But perhaps I'll talk about anticipatory grief. So when someone gets a terminal diagnosis, suddenly the loved one is plunged into it's the end. Because they kind of fast forward, if you like. But actually that person is still there. And I know personally when my brother got diagnosed, I went to that end and then I reined myself back in because he was there now. There is disenfranchised grief where we tend to compare loss. And an example of that might be, imagine two dog owners. One had an 8-year-old dog and the other one had a 12-year-old dog. Both are grieving. You can't compare how each of those dog owners felt by the loss of their dog. And yet the 8-year-old turns around to the 12-year-old dog owner and says, well, at least you had your dog for 12 years. I mean, we cannot compare grief. Big no-no. Any more than like those intellectual comments, we can tell people how they feel or try and make them feel better. It just doesn't work like that. What stops people seeking help often is that the pain they're feeling for the loss of their loved one, they identify as love. And they feel that if they let go of that pain, that they will be letting go of that loved one. So I call that then is almost like having a monument to misery. And yet for a loving relationship that's come to an end, whether it be through divorce, the breakup, or through death, seems such a shame for something that was so special to have, be left with a monument of misery when actually it could have a legacy of love. Because when you get round to an equation here, pain does not equal love. All pain does is equal pain. It's love that will equal love. Another thing that will stop anyone from actually thinking that they can recover from grief is fear. Let me tell you, fear is probably one of the most useless of all human emotions. All fear does is root you to the spot and prevents you from moving forward. It's a bit like if you imagine standing in the doorway with one hand on the left and one hand on the right of that doorway. On the left, you're focusing on regret, all the things that you wished you'd done and not done. And on the right hand, you've got fear of the future. I think one word describes that. Stuck. So, we've all seen, most of us, I suggest, have all seen the film Love Actually. And the closing end of the film, they're all in the airport, aren't they? And all the loved ones are coming through the arrivals. And everybody's standing there, and suddenly the screen goes into blocks, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hear Hugh Grant say, "Love is actually everywhere." Well, let me tell you, I'm very sad to say that grief actually is everywhere too. However, it is possible to recover from grief. And as I sit here, I've been working with it for the last, specifically in grief, for the last 6 years, but I've been working with clients for the last 10 years. And you don't hear recover from grief in the same sentence. But I know that it really is possible. And I have a myriad of clients behind me who have recovered and moved on to find fulfillment again in a way forward in their life. So with the help of my coaching and also with a program called Grief Recovery Method, I teach the tools to help you do just that, to actually find peace, acceptance, and with coaching to find a way forward, to turn pain into purpose and find a new meaning in life. I just thought that I would share with you some testimonial sentences. It says, "I can finally, after all those years, let go of the pain and start living again." Now, I made those up. Those are real testimonials that people have kindly sent to me. Another one says, "Well, when I first came to Dulcie, I had many incomplete relationships weighing me down and preventing me from living a full life. I had so much pain and sadness in me that I had just accepted that it would have to stay with me for the rest of my life. But with Dulcie's patience and extensive knowledge and experience with grief management, she showed me how I can finally, after all those years, let go of the pain and start living again. I feel free of my pain, free of bitterness and resentment that I've carried around me for 25 years. I met Dulcie a little while prior to experiencing a very big loss in my life. I already liked and trusted her so much, so I reached out and asked if she could help me with my losses. And I realized that the most recent loss was triggering a huge amount of pain from a very long time ago. So I started along the grief recovery program with Dulcie and helped me to resolve some trauma experiences that I've been holding on to. And instantly I felt better, lighter, and more whole. I'm able to live a life that feels more whole and more fulfilled." This was a very special one I'm about to read now. She simply says, "I had some very difficult issues to deal with. My biggest issue having been caused by losing our very precious daughter, who was full of life. And since having my sessions with you, I'm feeling much lighter. Strange to explain, but it really is like a feeling like some of the dark clouds have lifted." Actually, I'm going to tell you, honestly, from my experience with the work that I do with my clients, recovery is like being surrounded by a ray of sunshine. I always say, I give clients the time that they need, and I am with them every step of the way. I work from my heart to yours. And anybody out there who's heard this, if you're interested in hearing more, you're very welcome to contact me for an initial chat.
That was amazing. So I'm contacting you for that initial chat. What can I expect?
So from that initial chat, I would hear a brief outline of your story and tell you a little bit more about how I work. Now, it depends. If the person is not in a travelling distance to me here in Dorset, in Charmouth, where I am, then I would work with them on Zoom. And I always say, you've got to be comfortable with the person you're going to do some extensive work with, and you're going to share quite a lot about yourself. So I think it's really important that they feel comfortable and that they see I've only got one head, not two. And so I would do either a Zoom meeting or a face-to-face meeting, which is usually for about an hour. And again, we'll just go in a bit more depth and you can see physically how I work. And then if they're happy with that and they want to book in, that's when they book in. And at that point, there is no charge. As I said, truthfully, I give clients the time that they need.
So I've booked in. What happens next?
When you booked in,
Yeah.
you fill out a coaching pack and you bring that with you. And we'll do some work about you first, get you to understand what's going on for you, look at your values, help you to see. And I have a really lovely, what I call model of life. It's called the Circle of Living Life Free from Anxiety, virtually. So we see like a circle of life, how that works. It's a bit like a sort of model, if you like. Get you set up with some tools to manage how you're feeling, because that's really important. Because when you're doing this heart work with me, you still got all the symptoms and the responses. So we have a look at what's shortfalls in the values, so things that you can do in the short term while we're working together on the grief and loss. Once we've done that, it could be one or two sessions. We then put you through the program. You have a book to read step by step. This is a very structured way that I work. And for the chaos, because that's the other thing, grief is really all about chaos. So therefore, by putting some structure in, it actually helps someone to have something to hold on to, something to work with. So they read the book, certain chapters at a time. There is some written work. If you like, just like this podcast has done, I hope it's given you an insight about the facets of grief. The idea is you learn fully about grief and understand it. And it then helps you to position you so that when you come to do the heart work, you can cope with it and you can flow with it. So you start off by doing what I call a loss history graph. And it doesn't matter how young you are. I've had someone in their 20s have produced quite an extensive loss graph, just as if it's someone who's my age. When I've done my own loss graph, I've chuckled. I thought, my goodness, what a lot of losses. Some are significant and some are not, right? But from that, it's quite visual, and we can see which relationships need to be completed on. Now, completeness is about delivering all those unmet things that we wish we'd done and not done and said and not said. It's about actually dealing with the things we need to forgive, we need to apologize, and the significant emotional statements, the things we either loved about that person and wish we could do again, all those things we wish we could tell them. So when we've worked out which relationships need to be worked on, one by one, we work through the relationship, we do a relationship graph, and we turn that into the components that will finally deliver a completion letter as if that person's in the room. After that work's been done, we then go back, check in with the values to see where they are at, and then we do some coaching work around outcome setting and finding a way forward. So if you like, it's a journey. It's what I've said at the beginning. It is a coaching journey that takes someone all the way through. And at the process, they get to learn about
Fabulous. Thank you so
themselves.
much for joining me
They
today,
get to
Sharon.
recover from their grief.
To
They
everybody
get to
out there,
find peace and
take care.
acceptance in whatever form that takes for them.
So it's very extensive then. So do you work with children or is this just adults?
This is just adults. Yes. Yeah.
And so when you've worked through the recovery on a relationship, you've mentioned about reading a letter as if somebody's in the room with you. Do you ever read that letter to the person it's about if they're still alive? Or is this just for people that have died?
It can be for a living relationship and it can be for someone who's died, but you never share that letter outside between the two of us. It is purely for the client only. Okay. For instance, if you were to go up to somebody and say, "Do you know what? I really forgive you for breaking my vase." You're going to get a really sharp reaction.
You're gonna say,
Okay?
what did I
I never
break?
broke that vase. Who told you I did that? And you're going to end up actually causing a
Causing
very
more
serious
trauma.
damage to that relationship, right? And yet, there's where you've got to think about it. Your body is a container for all of that negative emotion. And we might not want to say that to that person because we know we're going to get a bad reaction, but we still got the pain. So this process that I work with helps you to get rid of that pain. There's no bringing it up and putting it back down again. When it's up, out, completed on, it's gone.
And you probably won't be able to answer this because how long's a piece of string, but I mean, typically, how long are you working with people? Is it a year or more, or?
Well, so I would say I see clients sort of 10 days to fortnightly apart, because there's written work and heart work to do in between. And also there's some tasking. So if somebody's, got some tools to work with and some techniques, they need to go away and do some of that. Then they can come back and we'll see where they're at. So, and it depends how long's a piece of string. You're quite right. You kind of answered it for me. It really depends on how many relationships. Some only come with one or two. So, a journey can be anything from, I know, 10 sessions probably to much, much more, but I couldn't say.
Very much
One
depends
thing's
what
for
you want.
sure, with each completion and with each stage that we work through, the recovery and the difference and the power of what we do, they feel so much better. That's not an issue. That they actually just want to make sure there's no pain. They just want to feel completely clear and at peace. And boy, isn't that a wonderful feeling when you can actually say, I feel at peace and I'm okay with that now.
So if I came and worked with you, to say, and I completed on everybody that I needed to complete on, and then something else happened, could I come back?
Course you can. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
there's no time limit to working with you. It's whatever, as you've already said, you give your clients all the time that they need.
Yeah.
So you could be completely recovered for 2, 3 years, and then some other trauma hits, and you just need to get recovered from that. You can come back to it.
Yeah, because imagine if you were, if it was a living, I call it a living relationship, supposing it's I don't know, a sister, the sibling, let's say a sibling, and that's a live relationship, and yet they'd had a big clash and there'd been a lot of trouble between them, and they get complete to that certain point. Ideally, you want the other person to get complete too, actually. But if one gets complete and the other one doesn't, and time goes on, sometimes there's more stuff crops up. So we call that a PS. And they can come back. And at that point, it depends on what needs to be done. This is a tool for life. And I think I'd rather talk about that on an individual basis to the person about how you progress that moving forward, really. But if it's a full-blown session, clients can come back for a top-up. That sometimes happens. I know that I worked with somebody once on a relationship, and there was another relationship that they just didn't want to go there. That's fair enough. I respect that. And then, sure enough, 2 years later, they came back and said, it's no good. I've got to work on that relationship. So they
Right, so
did.
they're coming and
Yeah.
revisit. So do you work with couples as like together couples or couples
Right.
individually?
So I would work with couples initially individually. We're going slightly off piece from grief now. So let's, if we talk about coaching as a coach,
Right, so this is coaching, not grief recovery
this
then.
is coaching, not grief recovery. So actually, when a relationship is not working well within a couple, funnily enough, guess what? Of course it is. It's loss of some kind. And so it might be that individually they need to go through that program. But actually, what makes, as we're going off piste here slightly, but what makes a relationship work is actually thinking of it like a diamond. It's making all of the facets working to get that diamond shiny. And so therefore, yes, I will work with couples to improve their relationship. Of course I do. As a life coach, separate from grief recovery,
Recovery, right.
I mean, I work with clients on all different levels. Yes.
So they are separate things, but they work. They're a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. You can work
Dovetail it
on one.
together.
That's the word I wanted. I'm doing the sign, and you know what?
Yeah. Exactly.
For people that can't see, I'm doing the thing with my fingers. And it's like, I can't think what the word is, but it's like a bit of a jigsaw. But yeah, it's like perfectly said. You can dovetail grief recovery together with relationship coaching. So yeah, you're a woman of many talents.
Thank you. I won't question your judgment, Michelle. How about
You're my friend, of course you're talented. I only have talented friends. So if somebody wanted to get hold of you to find out more about the work that you do, how are they going to get hold of you?
I think in the first place, they can send me an email. That's often the best place. Because if I'm with a client, I'm not going to answer the phone. And it might not be, and if I'm busy with clients all day, I might not be get it until later on that evening. To which case, unless I'm free, I won't be able to ring them. So it's much easier to send me an email and give me some times that I can give a call and I will call them back.
Okay, and what's your email address?
My email is info@positiveclarity.co.uk.
So that's info@positiveclarity.co.uk.
That's the
So
one.
first step is, if anything that Dulcie has said in this podcast has resonated and you want to know any more, your first step is to drop her an email. And then she'll get back to you as and when she's available to have that initial chat with you. But yeah, Dulcie, brilliant. Thank you so much. It's
You're welcome.
eye-opening. Because when we talk about grief, we always think there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And
Oh, there most certainly
we've
isn't.
got to sit there in our own despair sometimes. And there's obviously, as you've said, there's lots of facets of grief and there's different levels of grief as well. And you can't compare what somebody else is feeling to how you're feeling. But it feels sometimes that we just go into ourselves and that we've got nowhere to go. But knowing that there's people like you out there doing this amazing work, just knowing that is kind of like relief that there is some way of healing
Yeah, and
and
there is.
recovering.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just an amazing to know that you exist. Yeah. And from my point of view, and I'm sure other people's point of view, I wish I'd known this years ago.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for letting me air, the kind of work that I do. And I do get results. Yeah, I do.
And I can tell by, I know you can't see her face, people, but I can tell by the look on her face, and hopefully you can tell by the way she speaks with such passion about this. She loves her work.
I do, very much I do, yeah.
And she loves seeing the results, and she loves seeing her clients just lift and lighten. And it's an amazing feeling, no doubt for you, and no doubt amazing feeling for everybody that has reached full recovery. So,
And can I just add, we know that info@positiveclarity is my email address. www.positiveclarity.co.uk is the website. It's full of information. And for somebody who likes to do detail, you'll see that there's a lot of information on my website, but it will clearly give you a really good insight to me because I work from the heart and with care.
Brilliant. And all that information will be on all the blurb that goes with this podcast as well. So, Dulcie, to finish off grief, if only to finish off my series on grief, shall we say, is there anything else that you want to say that you can add to what you've already said?
Perhaps what in tongue in cheek, I've got some very big ears and I'm willing to listen.
And a very big heart as well. And we all know that, anybody that knows that. Dulcie, thank you so much for your time in recording this podcast for me. And thank you for being my last person on this little series.
Oh, I feel privileged. Thank you so much.
And
It's
I
been
just hope
wonderful.
everybody listening to this, you get something from it and you know where she is if you need any help. So on that note, Dulcie, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you.
I'll see you
Cheerio,
soon.
everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.